7. We're testing.
Of my life right now.
Your eyes are red.
Thanks for noticing.
Was I not supposed to? Am I supposed to? Why don't you get a little farther from the mic? I dare you. I'm kidding. It was a joke. It was sarcasm.
Oh, I see.
I thought you knew that. You're fancy. You're smart. But I'm not trying to roast you about your red eyes. Shouts to the grind, man. I don't.
It's always a grind.
Logan Mono, welcome to the Turnaround J podcast. Oh, I'm supposed to say this thing. The Turnaround J podcast, hosted by me, Josh Davis.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
Listen to our podcast and all the other podcasts on the Aggie Radio Network on Spotify and Podbean. For some reason, not Apple, but you can listen to Spotify for free. So if you're saying you can't listen, you're lying. But welcome. How's your day been? You look tired, but the grind? I mean, like, are you surviving? Or are you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, college is always grind. This week in particular has been rough, but with schoolwork and such.
Exams? Because with computer science, it's just projects, yeah?
Yeah. Well, when your computer gets destroyed and you're a computer science major, that can kind of throw a wrench in things and you get a little bit behind. That's basically the story.
So you destroyed your computer this week?
I did.
You want to take us through the drama of your...
Oh. Note to self, never put something on your keyboard. My iPhone slid into my iMac Pro. Not my iMac, I guess. My MacBook Pro.
So that math doesn't check out.
Broke the screen.
How big? So, like, it was just sit. Was it really close to you?
Yeah. I mean, it slid, like, probably 3 or 4 inches.
Did you, like, stand up? Like, how did it get all that momentum?
Well, I was sitting on the couch, and I just adjusted, and it just slid forward. Like, I mean.
Like a rocket.
Minimal force.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even that much?
No. And put a little dent in the... It didn't, like, shatter. Just put a little crack in the bottom, but then the screen went all whack and lines everywhere and everything.
Oh, gosh.
But luckily, the nice Indian man on the phone helped me out. I think his name was Rajit.
Rajit?
Yeah.
Dude, shouts to Rajit.
Yeah.
Big Rajit.
Excellent
fan.
Service. He was great.
And now it's headed to Texas, which is...
Yep, unfortunate.
Frozen.
Should be
over.
3 to 5 days, but Texas is frozen.
I gotta say, I don't want to get into the many levels of nonsense that we could get into for this, but Ted Cruz tweeted in 2016 that he would believe in climate change when Texas froze over, and it's an example of one, Twitter is a terrible place that you should never say it, and two, that I don't know, let's be wiser.
Oh,
be
man,
able to be persuaded.
Yeah, I've been following that Texas thing, like. All the stuff that was going on with Ted Cruz. Oh, man. It's such a mess. Probably don't want to get into politics here, but...
It's not the best look. But also, would I go to Cancun in that situation? Probably. So I'm not going to out this guy. But getting back to the fun stuff. Logan, who are you? So you told me where you were born and that you lived there for a little while. But your name is Logan. And where did you grow up?
So here's my story. My parents... met here at Utah State. I was born in Seattle, so long ways from here. But they named me Logan because they love Logan, never thought they would come back. Flash forward like 3 years, they come back. And so I spent the first couple years of my life here.
You were three when you came back?
No, I guess I was younger than that. I was probably like 1.5. So they had me about, they were only in
we're never gonna
Seattle
go back
for a little bit.
A year later.
Yeah, end up back. And then my dad got a graduate in economics, went and did sales stuff in Seattle for a little bit, decided he didn't like it, came back to school here, did computer science. Then he went out to Notre Dame, got his PhD, so he lived in Indiana from the time I was like 3 to 6-ish.
Wait, Notre Dame is in Indiana?
Yeah, South Bend, Indiana.
I cannot believe that. I didn't know that, but anyway.
Yeah. Super awesome school,
by the way.
For
some
reason,
I just thought Notre Dame, and I was like, Boston. You know what I mean? like the Fighting Irish, you're like, well, okay. Then
it's got to be in the East. It's yeah. Terrible. Randomly, it's in the Midwest. Anyways, we end up back. He ends up teaching here. So we get caught in this endless loop that I feel like so many families get caught in where they try to leave Logan and just always have to come back. You know? it's a thing. It really is.
You just can't escape it. There's no way.
Yeah.
Do you want to stay in Logan? Is that like part of, would you want to stay here?
If I stay in Utah, I would want to stay in Logan.
Interesting.
I don't know if I'll end up here forever, but.
You don't want to stay in Utah, but if you did, you would prefer Logan over the.
Yes.
Over the field.
I feel like I'm going to work and things is going to take me outside of Utah. But if I end up back in Utah, I will be in Logan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like Logan a lot. I like you a lot.
Oh, hey. Thanks, Josh.
No, but I like both. Probably not equally, though. not because I don't like you, but because Logan's awesome, man. It's been good to me. And it's funny. I actually work at Icon Health and Fitness with a bunch of people who are transplants because, like, they've been hired from out of state or from out of town within the state. And it's kind of fun to watch these people all get to know a new place and, like, kind of, like, you know, understand Logan. And now they go hit up they go to, like, what's the Crumble Brothers and Herm's Inn and all that stuff. It's kind of fun. Is it Crumb Brothers?
Crumb Brothers.
I combine Crumble and Crumb Brothers. Yeah, Crumble original location. Big Logan fan. But so you've lived in Indiana and Seattle.
Yep, Indiana, Seattle, and back here.
Fake Seattle though.
Yes, Renton.
What was Indiana like?
Oh, it was awesome. Well, I don't really remember like a lot of like Indiana, but Notre Dame campus was awesome. I remember. Mm. Super small school. Like, I mean, they only have like a couple thousand students is all.
Really?
But yeah, it's really small, which is kind of surprising because I always picture Notre Dame as like big Division I,
right?
You know, NCAA contender, everything.
When you say like a couple thousand, you mean like, are we talking like less than 10,000? We're doing like...
I believe it was 9. I can look it up real quick. It's super small,
computer
but...
Computer science major. Let's test your speed Googling skills.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
no
Siri.
Pressure. Can you... My Siri doesn't... Do you use Siri to text?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, cool. I'm glad. I was wondering if I was, like, had skipped to 40-year-old dad status or if that was, like, a cool thing that people did. You seem like a cool guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to talk to Siri once in a while. She gets lonely in there.
And you're an ambassador for Utah State now,
I
too.
I am.
So, like, you must have so much self-confidence telling people to come to Logan all the time. Like, you're like, yeah.
Oh, it's so easy. Like, Logan is the best place.
It really is, though. It's, like, so, it's very convenient. Very friendly.
Yeah. If you like look at Logan just on paper, you might think, oh, that's just like a little small town kind of thing. But I mean, once you like experience Logan, like one, the culture, two, all the like, it's got all the best parts of a small town and all the best parts of a like more developed town, you know?
Yeah.
You have like the farmland, you have all the stuff you can do, like class A outdoor recreational place, you know?
Yeah. If you're granola, I got no better place.
Oh yeah. But then if you get into where all, like, the little nooks and crannies, all the little, like, shops downtown and stuff, it's a pretty magical place.
It's got a super magical downtown. I mean, like, it's just legit. It's, like, a real place. Did you have it?
Yeah, student count, Notre Dame, 2016, 8,624.
Really? So it must be super hard to get in.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Pretty competitive.
Okay. So Notre Dame, less than 10,000 students. That's
That's
a crazy bar. 8,000 and change? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, their football team is... top ranked in their conference, so I mean that's pretty impressive from a little school.
Yeah,
I mean, against the Alabamas and the Clemsons and stuff.
They do what they do. I keep looking at the audio levels because you're so soft spoken. You just have this kind, inviting voice.
My voice travels far. I have a deep voice. I'm more of a distance guy than a penetration guy. You know, like, it doesn't punch you, but you can hear me from like 20 feet away.
That's really true. We were doing the table for two. I remember I'd be like across the room and I could hear you. I'd yell at you from across the thing and I'd be like, I could follow his voice. So how did we come into contact? How did we meet each other?
Was the first time the Pobev?
Maybe.
Something like that.
Pobev. Which Pobev?
First one.
Did you do the outdoor one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wasn't there.
Oh.
I stole it from somebody for a news story, but
oh, gotcha.
I didn't go.
I don't know. I joined the Blue Light Media crew. I applied for it like shortly after. So I'm a freshman. So it's my first year. So
you're still a freshman?
Yeah,
dude. Free.
I mean, this is my second semester.
Over
on paper, I'm a sophomore.
On paper, you're a sophomore.
Yeah.
Those people are the worst. I enjoy college classes. Anyway, did I just burp? Excuse me.
So I applied for this job, Blue Light Media. Because I was interested in videography. I'm like, oh, this looks like fun. I wanted to, like, get my foot in the door, learn some things, meet some people. So I join up. first people I met was Austin and Carter.
Yeah.
All that crew.
They're like a tag team now.
Yeah.
Like Batman and Robin, basically.
And then somewhere down the line, I ran into you at the studio. And the rest is history. Next thing you know, we're creating blockbuster films, shorts, winning awards.
Dude, yeah. I mean, so we just finished one, actually.
We did.
Do you want to tell us about it? I feel like you are more qualified to talk about it only because it was your idea. You know, this is your brainchild.
Oh, okay. So our last short that we made was called Table for Two. If you want to find it, check on the USU Statesman Instagram. Is that what it's called? USU Statesman Media or something?
I don't know what the handle is, but yeah, USU Statesman.
A short for Valentine's Day. And I'll give a quick synopsis without spoiling anything. Anyways, we have a man who just came out of a bad relationship.
We have a man.
A man named Josh. Came out of a bad relationship, and he's sitting there alone by himself. And it's about the struggle that he has to sort of overcome that and to re-enter, sort of building up his confidence as the scenes play on, to the point where he basically like talks to his crush. And I feel like that's a story that a lot of kids here in college are going through, you know?
Oh,
like,
maybe.
I mean, that can be a scary thing, like building up confidence like that. COVID is kind of like made talking to people like evil, you know? So this is going to be our story. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. No, yeah. And it was super fun to produce. We did it. We hammered it out. It was a good team. I think it was a 2-week turnaround. Yeah. It was a Saturday to a Saturday. And I guess a little bit of Sunday too on those last little edits. But it's super good. It's on the Statesman Instagram. I should put that in like my bio or something so people can find it. But it was a ton of fun. I got to help Logan kind of make this come true. He pitched it to me, and he also it's based on a true story.
That's true.
Based
not
on
many
a true
people
story.
Know that.
And it's fun times. Based on a couple of true stories. Is that how that goes? That must be how those movies get made. Is they say based on a true story, and they just click like a couple different stories. Like, wow, like if you add these all
roughly
up.
Four true stories.
It's not just one story, but many, many, many stories. Are you into videography?
Yes.
You made a lot of wedding videos.
I have. Not a lot. A handful.
What are your takeaways? Like, what is it if... And you know, I don't know how many of those people are going to be listening to this, but like, do you have like hot takes now on like fashion and like what kind of suit to wear? Like,
oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Like,
tell me the big takeaways from being
all right.
A wedding
so, I'll tell you first how I got into this. So my fiance is a wedding photographer, pretty well established. Like, she's done like a dozen weddings and everything, and so she's pretty well established. So, I mean, she sees a lot of like good things happen at weddings, and a lot of bad things happen at weddings. You know.
You're going to be so prepped between the both
of
you. Yeah,
totally.
Goodness gracious. But yeah, keep going.
So then I started doing wedding videography, and like I've shot four weddings. I'll shoot four weddings next week. I have one on Saturday, and that'll be my fourth. So, basically I'll tell you this, wedding videography is so different than like different, like other videography, like just shooting B-roll or like shooting like an event or something like that, because there's so many like once in a lifetime moments you have to capture. And that makes
lot,
it difficult.
A lot of higher stakes.
Oh, definitely. And I'll tell you, some people plan for those kind of things,
like,
and some people
it,
just
give
don't
it a couple
even,
beats and like, you know,
yeah,
everybody's gathered around.
Oh yeah. And then some people just like, I don't know, I feel like you have to plan for those moments, you know? Like when you talk about them or when you see them, it seems like magical moments, like once in a lifetime things just sort of happen.
Sure.
But definitely, like I've seen, you got to sort of set up for them, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to have your ceremony like look right, you got to put some preparation. It's not just going to flow. Like, I've been in some that were like awesome, like totally choreographed. And like they don't seem artificial even though they're choreographed. And then some were just like, yeah, just, you know, walk down the aisle. The guy marrying him doesn't really know what he's going to say. And it's a little bit awkward for everybody. So that would be my biggest takeaway if you're planning a wedding. Like, you want those moments to feel magical, you got to plan for them to be magical. Otherwise, it doesn't always just carry
well,
through.
We're not talking like Leslie Knope, map it out. We're just talking about like, you know, what you're saying, like talk to your significant other. Like, talk about like, this is kind of what I'm expecting. This is kind of what I'm expecting. Like, okay.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Talk to the people involved. Like, we need to have like the bridesmaids and groomsmen. One thing that I've grown, okay, I love music, and I love the way music like builds emotion and stuff. One of my biggest pet peeves is with the like ring ceremony when they play the music and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen walk down the aisle, and then the flower girl comes and lays down the flowers, she's cute, and then they walk down the aisle with the bride and her father and everything, and then they just like cut the music at like this random point.
Oh, they cut it?
Yeah, because I mean they're just playing a song.
They don't even fade it?
Just no, like... they just like turn it off, and it might be in like the middle of the second chorus or something, you know? But if you have someone who like...
Totally, that's you as a videographer right there. It's a true videographer nature coming to light. It's like, whoa, like, what? You gotta hold on. Fade
on. Yeah, it's just like not smooth, but I mean, it's easy to plan for if you just like listen to the song a little bit, have someone that's going to cue in people, you know, so we time it right. Yeah. Little things like that. It's little details like that that just got to be accounted for. They like...
Makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, spending 15 minutes planning it will totally change how it looks and feels.
Right. Are you, I mean, so, fiance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're in the middle of all that.
I mean, I am.
You gotta be. I'm curious. So, with your fiance as well, who's a wedding photographer, is that like, are you, planning everything? Like, how's that going?
So, we're sort of taking care of, like, overwhelming majority of the planning. Are you talking for, like, photo and video type thing, or...
I mean, I don't know. You just told me that you were pissed because people were cutting the audio instead of fading it. So, I mean, like, I don't know. Are you, like, going crazy over the details? Or, like, what are you?
I don't know if we're going crazy over details, but we're definitely, like, giving them attention. Have you seen the movie Crazy Rich Asians?
Yeah, I have.
You know that wedding intro where, like, when she's walking down the aisle is, like, perfect?
Yeah, it's the one where she's in the audience, right? Like, the main character's in the audience, but, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, like... creating moments like that. So, like, if you haven't seen the movie, they, like, have, like, someone...
Oh, tell me you're going to leave. Are you going to have that song in there? Tell me you're going to have a song
in there. We're going to use that one. Because it's that song is specifically timed for, like, beats for people to walk in and stuff.
Is it really? So,
yeah. It's, like, perfect.
Oh, are you doing a ceremony?
Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Since we can't have that many people in temple and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to do ring ceremony. So that's sort of the vibe we want to go for, you know?
Yeah.
So we're just totally going to use that song because it's
water
perfect.
And
it's
the
like
crazy.
Oh, definitely. It's going to come in on a boat.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We're not doing that.
That's it's a good movie. Fun fact, I lived that movie. Anyway, it's like if that movie ended after the second act, that's what I lived. But anyway, but yeah, that seems super pretty and, that's really funny. I do think it's important that, you know, you got to plan a little bit. You can't just go for it. But
yeah.
But hey, man. What? What's your favorite color?
Aggie blue.
Oh man, are you a freaking ambassador? Oh, tell us about being an ambassador a little bit. You're an ambassador for the university.
I am. So.
Don't pay tuition.
Anyways, let me tell you a little bit about what the ambassadors do. So, our main role is reaching out to incoming students, mainly seniors and juniors. We'll sort of reach out to them in high school, yes, through different events, and we do high school visits and that sort of thing to basically like pump them up for college and get them excited and give them pave the way, show them the road to like applications, enrollment, and everything. Because honestly, that's the hardest part when you're in high school, you don't. Applying for college is the first like adult thing you do.
I applied to 4 colleges and I applied late. Like I was like, or like I barely made the deadline because there's like an early deadline. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I missed all the early deadlines. I was like, oh yeah. Freak. So yeah, no, 100%.
Oh yeah, because I mean that's like applying to college is like the first like adult thing you're gonna do as a teenager. You know, where it's like, oh man, like stuff is at stake. Like this costs money. Like I don't have to get assigned by my parents. But yeah, and I mean this is a hard, intimidating process. You know. And for a lot of people, that's the end of the line is, like, the application process and, like, just getting started because they don't know where to begin. So that's where ambassadors step in, and we sort of, like, lead them, guide them, walk beside them to figure out, like, what they need to do for college and everything. So that's our main role. We also take care of campus tours and that sort of thing.
And brainwash people around into coming to Utah State.
Yep.
In that order. yeah, that's, like, it's super cool. How many ambassadors are there? It's like 30-ish?
No, we have like 30 per class-ish. There's like 110,
30
I
per.
Think.
Oh, okay. So every
Something
year
like
they'll
that.
Bring in 30 new.
Yeah. Typically it's 25. It usually stays around 100, but I think we're a little bit over capacity right now.
It's too many.
Yeah.
Amazing kids coming in.
Yeah.
Amen. Logan, what's your favorite movie?
That's a tough question. I have a favorite movie, but I feel like no one ever knows what it is, so I hate saying it because then I just sound like a hipster, and I'm really not.
Say it.
Big Fish. Have you ever heard of that?
Big Fish?
Big Fish.
No way.
Tim Burton movie with Ewan McGregor.
Big Fish.
Yeah.
Like B-I-G Fish.
Yes.
I just watched a movie called Little Fish.
Oh, really?
Well, you talk about Big Fish, and then I'll talk about Little Fish.
Okay. My favorite book is One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
Are you a big fish guy?
I guess so.
Yeah,
apparently, this is telling me that. Anyways, Big Fish. I think it was made in the 90s, so it's a little bit of an older movie. But I am a big fan of the movies that have no plot. Like,
okay, all right, you lost me. I'm already out.
Like,
Tim Burton, too?
Yeah.
Wow, I could not be more out on this
like,
movie.
Forrest Gump, love Forrest Gump. There's nothing happens, you know? Like, it's just a bunch of, like, events, sequenced events.
I think Forrest Gump is kind of beautiful, but everyone is... I haven't seen it as an adult, though, so maybe I'm stupid, but anyway.
I feel like people who are, like, I don't know. In my opinion, movies are like cheese, you know? There's, like, the really good-tasting cheese, you know, and that everyone loves. And like, yeah, that was awesome. And then there's, like, the refined ones that are a little bit more, like... Like nuanced and stuff,
so you're
you know.
Saying the Big Fish.
It's a nuanced cheese.
Is blue cheese, or
it's like a really sharp cheese. You know, Gouda. You sort of got to understand what you're eating to enjoy it. Otherwise, it's just like, how do I put this on nachos?
So wait, it's not a claymation.
No.
Okay.
So, first off, like, this is just like, if this doesn't tell you it's a good movie, then I don't know what will. Ewan McGregor is the main star.
Okay.
So it's got Obi-Wan Kenobi in it. Playing a guy from the south in the like 30s. So here's the premise of the story, and this is why I love it.
Yeah.
A man, so it starts like modern era. There's a guy whose dad is dying. He's like terminally ill, and he sort of has a rocky relationship with his dad. And his dad is sort of infamous from his stories. So his dad would always tell like these tall tale stories about his life and just like over exaggerated everything. So then the movie is just a sequence of like the stories that he's telling that are just over-exaggerated.
Interesting.
And, like, I mean, he, like, becomes a salesman. He, like, goes to war. He does all these things. And then in the final scene, you like, realize that, like, there was, like, a little bit of truth to all of it. Like, all these people who walk through his stories are real people. And you can sort of, like, visually see just, like, how they sort of, like, played into his life. But it's sort of like, I feel like a lot of people have seen Forrest Gump, so that's a good one to compare it to. But same sort of deal where, like, there's not much of a, I don't know, there's, like, many story arcs, you know?
Right, yeah.
But there's not necessarily, like, a big moral at the end or, like, I guess there is a moral at the end, but it's not, like, the hero's journey, you know?
Sure.
It's not, like, anything like that. It's just, like, a story of someone's life, and it's, like, done in such a beautiful way, you know, like super cinematic, super good compositions and super good like emotion based stuff.
Yeah.
I love those kind of movies.
Yeah. Are you a big Wes Anderson guy?
I've only seen a couple of his movies, but I love them.
There's a lot. I mean,
I'll tell you, Fantastic Mr. Fox is excellent.
That's a great one.
Isle of Dogs is weird.
I Love Dogs is super weird, but super good, right?
Like, yeah.
I just watched it.
It's one of those where you're like, what am I watching and why can't I stop?
100%. 100%.
And I would love to see The Grand Budapest Hotel. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've heard really good things.
It's got the weird aspect ratio problem, so it's kind of weird on computers, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Huh.
The one that... have you seen Royal Tenenbaums?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh, it's kind of like the satire version of Big Fish. It's like this guy, this estranged father, runs out of money, and so he goes back to his rich family and tells them that he's dying of cancer, so that they will pay for his stuff, and like how the family finds out, and then how like they all react and yada yada, and it's super funny and super dark, but Wes Anderson's really great with that. I just watched, or no, what was it? What movie was it? Oh yeah, I just watched Isle of Dogs. But oh, Fantastic Mr. Fox. I say cluster cuss now because of Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's a fun fact. But dang, Big Fish. Okay, that actually sounds really interesting. I'm gonna check it out probably right now, right after this. We'll do it. We'll do it during the podcast. We'll just watch Big Fish.
Like tune in for our live
theater,
viewing.
Mr. whatever that is. Little Fish. I'll give you this. I'll go quicker because mine's it's more sad. But the idea is that there's like a new strain of Alzheimer's. That's like more contagious, and or maybe not contagious, but like it develops quicker, and like it doesn't go by age. Like everyone all over the world at whatever age might just randomly get it, and they call it NIA. And it's about this couple, and like one of the two people in the relationship get it, and how they deal with it. And there's this weird procedure, but then like, it's kind of wild because it's timely with like the pandemic, and that like, there's a cure that's like being like going through trials, but like they don't know if it's safe. Mm-hmm. And then like, there's people who are trying to do the what's it called? Like the cure operation on themselves. And like they're risking their lives by doing it. And it's like all weird. And then, it's kind of just about like I guess it's more about relationships, honestly, than anything. Like the beauty of like getting to know somebody and what that's sure. like. And then kind of going through this crisis of, oh, I'm like forgetting all these moments, like, and what the important moments actually are and end up being. But it's really beautifully made. Like it's really, I'm a big nostalgia wimp. So like, have you seen Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, like Friday Night Lights is like part of my soul. And so this movie really gets me because I think there's a lot of really beautiful moments of true nostalgia where it shows these moments where I'm like, oh yeah, that's a real moment that happened. You know, because like movies are so famous for, yeah, okay, like
yeah.
you did that, like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? But like it does a good job of capturing like, oh yeah, at this party, like so-and-so was worried about the playlist the whole time, and it shows like this guy keeps going to his laptop and like checking and scrolling and stuff, like, and stuff like that where it's like, oh yeah, those are the real memories that stick, you know what I mean? So it's not like a masterpiece, it's not gonna blow your mind or anything, but it was like, it was cool. It's got a wild soundtrack. But so oh my gosh, I'm burping like crazy, this is really gross, I'm sorry. I'm sorry everybody for the burps, excuse me. But so you like movies with motion, like, so Big Fish is your favorite. What other kind of movies do you like to watch? Are you cool with everything? Are you like,
I'm pretty like, I don't know, I watch a good mix. Like, I don't think I'm impartial to like a specific kind, but I will say that like those kind of like small emotion movies, definitely my favorite. Like Big Fish, Forrest Gump, love those. Have you, I don't know if you've seen like any Hayao Miyazaki movies. Have you seen those? They're like anime, but they're not like anime. They're just like,
I have never had somebody actually admit to me that they watched anime. So every single person who likes anime is like,
I'll tell you this.
It's like anime, but it's not. That's like, that's the lead pitch for any anime show.
This is the difference. There's like Western entertainment, like storytelling, that's very much like hero's journey, high action, like lots of stuff. And then there's like Eastern storytelling that's just like mostly like Big Fish, Forrest Gump. I'd say that's more like Eastern style storytelling where it's just like telling events, you know.
Keep me in the West. Anyway.
But those movies are like same sort of thing where like some of them are kind of weird, I'll admit. But some of them are like, they have these really nice scenes. Like Spirited Away is one of my all-time favorites.
Hey, interesting. See, that movie, I saw it a bunch as a kid and it just freaked me out every time.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty freaky.
It's just freaky.
But it has this moment that I love, like right at the end, like everything's like winding down.
Yeah.
Like it seems like climax of action has just happened, but there's still like 20 minutes left in the movie. So like, what's happening? You know?
Right.
And then for like 10 minutes, it's just this little girl like sitting on the train. And I love it because it just like, you just went from like this high emotion, high intensity, like hero conquers the villain type thing.
Sure.
The whole movie built to this. And then for 10 minutes, the movie just like breathes, you know, like it just slows down and gets calm. And it like, you don't even notice it, but you just like feel yourself like relax and it feels nice. And then they have this even like, then they have like this big nostalgia moment at the end where like, the hero who we thought was like gone is like actually back, and like his big dilemma is realized in the very end and like solved, and it's just like the pacing of it is like perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, I definitely think there's creativity in how you can master pace, and I think the key actually to like the best filmmakers is how they use multiple storylines and how they weave them together. And like I say weave because it's almost like sound waves where like you know how there's one wave that's higher and like one wave beneath it. And at different points, different waves need to be the highest one that everyone pays attention to, and then they go back down and they're still happening, but like you don't pay attention. I think like when you can follow multiple aspects of a story and multiple characters and follow multiple arcs without being distracted or having to fight them, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, without them like fighting with each other. I think that's when, like, that's like the highest level of filmmaking. Because even like good movies that I've seen don't accomplish that.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like I said, Star Wars is a good example of one that doesn't, where it's like, in Star Wars, there are multiple storylines, but it's like, we're showing you this one, and now we're showing you this one.
Yeah.
And now we're showing you this one, and now we're showing, and there's not a lot of nuance, right?
Yeah.
But it's when you can kind of wrap those together, that's like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's the stuff that, like when they reveal something, where you're like, I remember taking note of that, and then I forgot about it, because I cared so much about the other stuff,
oh, yeah.
and now it's back, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that, where it's
yeah.
like, oh my God.
I think Marvel is like the best at that. As far as movies
they
go.
They have it formulaic, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Like, they definitely have, like, a movie formula. And, like, I mean, I like how I talked about, like, how I like the emotion-based movie type ordeal.
Yeah,
like,
character-based.
Marvel is very much, like, they have a formula, you know?
Yeah.
Like, their action and storyline is so cool, but if you, like, pay attention to, like, their pacing and stuff, it's, like, the same every time. The bad guy is just, like, the altered ego of the yeah. hero.
No, it's like, honestly comforting. I find myself, you know how you kind of comfort watch, like, a lot of people, I do it too, like, comfort watch The Office.
Just oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, I kind of know the beats.
Yeah,
they're different
exactly.
enough that, like, it flows, but, like, it's comfortable because you know it so well. Same is actually true for me about Marvel movies, where it's just like,
that's
oh, yeah,
definitely
like,
true.
I know these beats. Like, I know, like, okay, so, like, wow, those were a great 20 minutes. And, like, now I have to go do something else. Like, I have to go, whatever, I'm going to go make a sandwich. But I know that now I have 20 minutes of exposition. So I can just kind of play the exposition in the background while I make a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you kind of, you do all this delivery, like, oh, yeah, like, right, totally. And yeah, I think that's, I think it's really hard to do. That's definitely the part that jumps out to me the most about movies. Do you like, watch movies in a weird way now because you're more familiar with camera stuff? You're like,
oh,
whoa.
Definitely. Like, yeah. You know, like, when you listen to music, like, music is just good, but then, like, you take a music theory class and all of a sudden just, like, pff, like, unlocks new doors.
No,
listening
I've
to
never
music.
Taken a music theory oh. class, and I never will because I'm scared.
Maybe that's not a good example. But same sort of thing, like, I mean, I probably, this last summer is when I really began looking at, like, camera stuff and, like, cinematic stuff and, like, composition, that sort of thing. I've, like, YouTube educated myself to the brink, like,
yeah.
There's probably not something on YouTube
on
I haven't
cameras?
Seen about, like, cameras and stuff.
Do you have,
like
a channel that you recommend?
For filmmaking?
Sure.
Full-time filmmaker. Hands down, the best
oh,
if you want to, like, if you want to, like, learn, like, film theory and stuff.
Yeah.
Or, I guess not so much, like, cinematic, but more for, like, I don't know, modern contemporary type of stuff, like, travel video, that kind of thing. Just general camera stuff. Like, getting started.
Full-time filmmaker.
Hands down, the best. And sure. One of the guys on the team is a USU alumni. Landon, by the way, he was an ambassador.
Landon, by the way?
Do you know him?
I went to middle school with him. I don't
oh, really?
I didn't know him at all.
Oh.
But.
Yeah, he's on there.
Dang.
Yeah. So, getting started, that was
oh,
the best one.
I heard that he was a famous YouTuber.
Yeah.
Man, that is not the life for me. The influencer. Anyway. But dang, that's super cool. Yeah, full-time
yeah.
filmmaker. Okay. I need to, because I've been flirting with doing a YouTube deep dive life. And I think my goal is to kind of use the summer as that. Like,
yeah.
get an internship. And then I have I use that dollar masterclass thing. I think I've
oh yeah,
this, but
I'll and, tell you,
just cram.
If like, COVID didn't happen, I definitely wouldn't have done that. But I was kind of like bored out of my mind.
Thank goodness for COVID. But. Honestly, in a lot of ways, it made me just rethink. You know, like you're kind of you were faced with yourself. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
But
definitely, it's changed the viewing experience for me. Like, I mean, I look at scenes. I'm like, oh, I see why they're doing this composition. Or I watch. It's kind of ruined some things for me too.
Yeah,
like
podcast
I'll watch
has ruined stuff for me.
Like I'll watch something like on YouTube or something. I'm like, or wedding videos is a big one because like now that I know all this stuff and I watch other people's wedding videos, I like know why some look bad,
like,
some look good.
Why did
you
do that? No,
like,
no,
wrong frame rate, wrong f-stop.
I think the worst thing I ever did was I started actively yelling at the television when I was watching Great British Baking Show. I'm like. Like, it's great. Like, you look blue. Your white balance is off. Like, it looks blue. And like, and
the
my
funny
girlfriend
thing
at the time was like, you're like, I was literally like standing up, I think, like pointing at it. And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm losing it. But yeah.
The funny thing is to me that, like, being in like the wedding videography business, I feel like there's a lot of people that don't notice. Well, like, there are a lot of people that don't notice those things, you know? Like, I see some people, I'm like, why do people hire this guy?
Yeah.
It's probably sad because I probably shouldn't say that because I mean I'm not like the greatest,
sure.
But Like, I look at someone, I'm like, is this, am I the only one seeing this, you know?
No, there's definitely a level of sanity to, because the other thing about video production is the worst is that it's like, like 98% of our job is to make sure that you don't notice.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like there's 2% of like, oh, wow, look at that move. Or like, oh, wow, like look at the way he's doing this.
Yeah.
But like the other 98% is like, just like, oh, yeah, how can we light this and make it sound good and make it so that like the audience has no idea that there's anything wrong or that this is staged. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. You put in all this effort to make it look effortless.
Exactly. Like, exactly. It's a really funny catch 22. But speaking of movies, and we were talking about the formula. There's a show that has not been following the formula at all. It's WandaVision.
Oh, yes.
Are you? Okay, all right. So are you caught up?
Did one come out today?
Yes.
I didn't watch that one.
Okay, good news.
Did you?
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. We have Logan in the other room. I'm having him watch the most recent episode of WandaVision. So this is also functions as a spoiler warning that there will be heavy WandaVision talk following this break. Appreciate y'all. We'll be right back. Oh, baby. It's been Agatha all along.
Yep.
What are your impressions? What are you, Logan literally just finished it. We were recording this, and I went and logged into my Disney Plus and made him watch. So,
like
what
a
are
true
you,
producer.
What are you thinking
about that episode or the series?
Let's start with the series. Actually, let's start broad. We'll start broad, coming deep. I think the show is weird, and I think it's kind of interesting because I'm interested in video production. But if I wasn't, I feel like I would hate the show at this point. But what do you like? What do you think about it?
Oh yeah, I mean if you like are familiar with like old TV stuff, you know, this is so cool. Like nothing's been done like this before. Yeah, it's way fun. Storyline, like it was kind of slow at first, but I mean,
slow is an understatement, but I get credit.
But it's definitely like, I don't know, it's kicked it up many gears since the premiere.
That's true. I feel like I've gotten, and the spoiler alert has already been dropped, so spoilers abound, but I feel like I'm even more mad about the storytelling design after seeing more episodes where I'm like, if you had just showed me. Yeah, like if in like the first episode they just revealed that like Sword is watching her weird like Wanda cast, I could have gone through like a lot more episodes knowing that we're just like, what's going on? Like nobody knows what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like not knowing for like 3 episodes and then having like this one episode, we're like, all right, we'll catch you up now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt kind of mean. it felt like targeted at the audience. You know what I mean? But I really do like what they're doing. And I think it's like, it gives them some free reign to do some crazy cool looking stuff.
Yeah. Like, what I sort of thought of this one at first is like, you know, like they make Pixar shorts and it's just sort of like their free reign, do what you want kind of thing. That's what I kind of thought it was at first. I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. But then it's ending up being like a fulcrum into like the new generation of Marvel, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not very like, I don't know, it's kind of out there, you know? Like they took some risks.
I took a ton of risks. I don't think all of them paid off, but I think some of them are like really cool. And so we are just watched episode 7. I think there's 9 episodes. This is according to my younger brother on the sourcing. So Max says there's 9. But at the end of the episode, it seems as if her 2 children are now animals and that Wanda is not in control because somebody named Agatha Harkness is in control.
So I do know that Agatha Harkness is a like longtime Marvel villain. I don't know what the thing with the rabbit and the cicada is. Looks like I'm guessing it's from the comic book, but I'm not that familiar with them.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's crazy. This is nuts. Okay. I'm Googling stuff about this as we talk. What other theories do you have? I mean, you like watch follow-up videos on this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you, I mean, like I have like my made-up theories, but you actually have some like real stuff going on here.
Yeah. If you want like another layer of depth to this series, watch New Rockstar's YouTube channel, and they do like analysis of the episodes, and this guy knows his stuff. Like, I don't know what this guy has been doing. Like, probably he's educated himself on Marvel for the last 20 years, because he, like, catches stuff that, like, I don't even know if the producers caught.
Interesting. They, yeah, you made me watch one of those videos, and it was very helpful for all this stuff. But, like, it's definitely, I really like the show. I think it's fun. It's picking up the pace a little bit. I wish that it had never lost its pace, but, yeah, we're starting to get into it. It's been good.
And I will say, too, I'm a fan of, like, standalone seasons of things.
Interesting. On purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen Firefly?
No.
Well?
I haven't.
R.I.P. that. You should watch it. It's really good. Joss Whedon, one of his first projects. But amen. It's making less and less sense as we go, but I'm excited. So we'll see how it goes. Finally, you have any last impressions on the episode, or is that?
No, I'm excited to see what happens. I feel like there was like, I don't know. My only wish is that they set up the reveal a little bit more.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was cool if you knew what was going on with her from the get-go.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, that was just kind of like,
if you're not deep into,
then that seemed kind of random.
That's a great point, because you wrote me into like a level of lore about this, but like, if I didn't know anything that you had told me about this,
that would have seemed like a super random reveal.
I would have been super mad. Yeah. I would have been furious. So yeah, that continues to be the problem with the show in general. But
it's definitely not for like, it's definitely like catered towards the super fans, you know?
Yeah, they're like, here's a super duper nerdy, not even nerdy. It's just. It's just bugging me.
Luckily, the super fans have YouTube channels, though.
That's a great point. Okay, Logan Mano. It's Mano, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Logan Mano, because you're the man.
That's what most people say.
But do you have a hot take? Are you prepared? Did you bring a take that is spicy to share with the collective world?
Yes.
You have the floor.
Okay, let me think of one. Hot take, like what? I read the text. I wasn't quite sure.
Hot take. So a hot take is a controversial or unpopular opinion that won't get the show canceled.
Oh, okay.
There's definitely hot takes that would get the show canceled.
Gotcha.
Hopefully aiming not.
Number one unpopular opinion. Ogres aren't like onions. You heard it here first.
Wait, say that again?
Ogres aren't like onions. The most unpopular opinion.
Ogres aren't like onions?
No.
What does that even mean? Is this a Shrek reference?
Yes.
You're making a Shrek reference for my... Do you like Shrek?
I do.
Okay.
Sorry, I just had to throw that out there. I don't really have to back that up.
I'm trying to pretend like I hate Shrek, but I don't really know. I don't remember Shrek well enough to pretend like I...
No, I can come up with something better. What's a real better hot take? What were previous hot takes people have had?
Last week... what are some hot take recaps? A lot of people have said that they don't like In-N-Out. It's pretty soft. It's just like not even a hot take at that point.
Burgers are good. Fries.
Well, terrible. It could also be a positive thing. It could be a negative thing. Like, I think Maddie Alders was that to normalize the wearing of ASICS shoes. Like, she wants to just wear them wherever she goes.
Is that not normal?
You know, I had that dilemma. and then some other ones have been that... Oh, man.
I'll tell you this. This was a hot take probably like 5 years ago, but now it's like just kind of generally accepted. Crocs are cool.
Oh! In high school, I like this.
In high school, I was repping Crocs every day. I have these Boba Fett Crocs. And like, okay, I wear them now. People just think I'm bandwagon. But
they don't know.
I've had these Crocs for years.
They don't know.
Like since I was like 14. And I'm waiting until the Boba Fett series comes out, then I'm going to sell them on eBay for like $5,000 or something. But now Crocs are popular. I mean, I went in like Famous Footwear yesterday. Crocs are like $45. It's insane.
They're $45. Whoa, whoa.
I'm not even kidding.
How much? They're $45?
Yeah. At Famous Footwear, they were at least. I'm sure you can find them cheaper online. But yeah, I mean, they came back. I was telling people
they're $50
all throughout my sophomore year that Crocs were going to come back, and now they're in.
I cannot believe that you were early to that. That is the. Because I was like. Oh, wow. This is really solid. I cannot believe this. What is this? For some reason, I Googled Crocs and a Balenciaga boot came up. This is not a Croc, but it's here. Anyway. Wow. So, okay. So, you've been rocking Crocs since how long? Since
I was like, well, my whole life, I guess. And then when I was 14, I got the Boba Fett Crocs, and those just like went to a whole new plane. You know, like.
So Boba Fett, do you have like the Boba Fett? Describe them to me, because I'm thinking like the little button things that you put on them. But like,
they have his spaceship on it and like his like crest. They're like the Boba Fett colors. They're so cool, and they don't make them anymore. Collectible. And his Boba Fett has never been in such a main like.
Yeah.
Eye of the people as he is now, you know?
You were just talking about how your stocks are high, and now, look, I mean, like, your stock into these Crocs, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the best investment I've ever made.
Probably off the
charts. One time, I went to California, and I left them on the balcony of the hotel I was in, because they were covered in sand and, like, seawater and stuff. I forgot them. I paid, like, $25 to have the hotel ship them to me. That's how important they were, and I'm so glad I did. True story. Like, I... Looking back at the decisions I regret in my life, that is not one of them. That was totally a worthy purchase.
Crocs are cool. Well, I disagree with you 100%, comma. Sure, why not? Live your best life. I don't care. Do what you want to do. But, dang, that's wow. Okay, I did not see that one coming. I like that. Okay, Crocs are cool. Solid. You pulled off a good hot take. Logan Mono, is there anything you wish that people knew about you?
There's a lot of things I wish people knew about me.
All right. Well, you have 30 seconds before your class starts. So what do you want to tell
point.
People?
Good point. What do I want people to know about me? I want people to know that... I don't know what I want people to know about me. What do you wish people knew about me? You know me.
What do I wish that people knew about you? I to this day, I don't understand how you have brown skin. It's like one of the weirdest. Understand? Like, because what your dad is Japanese.
Yep, Japanese. And my mom is half Venezuelan, which is probably where it comes from.
That's
but also, she's super white. But
you're not
super
like
fair.
You're not like, oh, I could get really tan and like turn. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people can like, whoa, like you got way tan and now like your skin looks like darker. But like, oh yeah, you're clearly white. You're like, your complexion is brown. Like it's
yeah, definitely.
Not,
but
definitely.
Then I get so dark in the summer. Like,
really?
Surf my mission in Africa. I blended
Africa?
In super well.
I feel like we could have talked about that more. What part of Africa?
Madagascar.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want people to know about me.
That's a great, yeah. No, there you go. Do you like to move it?
Oh, absolutely. I play that song every morning as I get ready for school.
Wait. Can you dance to it?
No, I can't. This is a podcast.
All right. For Logan Mono, my name is Josh Davis. We both like to move it. This has been the Turnaround J Podcast.
That was a strange ending.